Now we'll stay right there where Brother Jim just read in Philippians 2. I had him read the whole section there at the end of this chapter because it's my plan to deal with all these verses, but this morning I'm just going to deal with the two of these verses, and then it's my plan, Lord willing, to come back next week and deal verse by verse with the rest of this chapter. But I wanted to talk about this matter of working out our salvation. You read verse 12, Paul writes, "Wherefore, my beloved," now that tells you right away who he's writing to, that this is a message to believers. This is to those who are already sinners saved by grace, justified by God's grace in Christ. That means their sins are forgiven. They stand righteous in God's sight through Christ's righteousness imputed. They've been born again by the Spirit, regenerated, converted. They've been brought by faith, or brought by God to faith in Christ. Repentance of dead works, perseverance in the faith, all of those blessings and benefits of salvation that are freely given. And I'm going to tell you something now. We need to think about that. We need to appreciate that. They're all freely given because we haven't earned or deserved any of these blessings or benefits. So when he says, "Wherefore, for this reason," and of course what he's talking about is the unity in the ministry, spreading the gospel, standing firm together against the opposition. He says, "For this reason, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," and Paul saw them as an obedient people. It doesn't mean they were perfect. It doesn't mean that every act of obedience was performed by them. None of us can say that. Sometimes we're disobedient, but we hope in the Lord that the tenor of our lives is as obedient servants of Christ. So he says, "As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only," in other words, not just when I'm with you physically, "but now much more in my absence." And then he says this, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, you know, that verse has been taken out of its context and perverted by a lot of people who, for whatever reason, they promote the heresy that salvation is a matter of grace plus works, and that's not true. Paul wrote in Romans 11, if it be of grace, it's not of works. If it be of works, it's not of grace. I've heard people say things about preachers, say, well, he mixes grace and works. The Bible says you can't do that. You can't do that. Because if you preach that salvation is by God's grace plus our works, your whole message is works. It's not grace at all. And if you preach salvation by grace and not by works, your whole message is grace. And grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Some use it to preach the heresy that one can lose salvation. In other words, work out your salvation. And really, they changed, in essence, they changed the wording of it. Instead of saying work out your salvation, your own salvation, they really mean by work for your own salvation. But it doesn't say work for your salvation. Our salvation is attained and maintained by the work of one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't say work for your salvation, work out your own salvation. And the context bears that up. First of all, as I said, this is written to sinners saved by grace. It's written to believers. And so they already have the fullness of salvation that was accomplished for them and given to them by Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're a sinner saved by grace, the Bible says you are complete in Him. Now, that doesn't mean you're complete within yourself. We're not. And that's what he's talking about, working out our salvation. Later on, over in chapter 3, if you look at verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." He's not talking about how we stand in Christ. He's talking about our state in this world. And that's something we always need to keep in mind when we think about the exhortations, of Scripture, encouraging us to be, to strive to be better in every area of life. Our standing before God is perfection in the righteousness of Christ, and that will never change. It will never diminish. But our state in this world is sinners saved by grace struggling. Sometimes we don't struggle hard enough. Struggling to be like Christ. And so Paul says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, verse 13 of chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And that's almost, that's hard. To forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, really, that's a commentary on what he's saying when he says, work out your own salvation. You're saved by the grace of God. You've been blessed of all people. You have the fullness of salvation. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. You have a righteous standing before God that cannot change. No one can lay anything to your charge. No one can impute sin to you before God now in his court of justice. Not even the devil himself, not even your own conscience. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You are forgiven of all your sins. Therefore, strive in your character, in your thoughts, in your conduct to be like Christ. Not to be saved, but because you already are saved. Not to work out a righteousness that God will accept, but because you already have one that was freely given you by Christ who worked it all out in his obedience unto death. You see what he's saying? Work out. One old writer said it means work out of your salvation. This is where you are. This is your standing before God. Now work out of that. And so this is written to those who are believers in Christ, resting in Christ. And it's talking about putting our faith to work, working out of our salvation, working out of our faith. Secondly, the context of the covenant of the gospel of the covenant of grace tells us that this is not work salvation. What is the covenant that we're under? Well, look at this again. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're to work hard, thinking that if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're going to quake with fear and tremble and think that God may send us to hell anyway? And that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that fear. What is that fear? That's reverence and respect to the God of all grace, who is our Heavenly Father because of what Christ did, who is our friend. We sang that. What a friend. That we're friends with God. We can speak to him as friend with friend. Abraham was the friend of God. As he who has mercy upon us, he who never leaves us, He who never gets angry at us. I mean, he chastises us. But it's not out of legal anger. He whose wrath has been totally removed. And that's what that fear. You know what the word fear is in the context of the covenant of grace? It's worship. Worship God. That's what we're here to do. That's why we're here. That's why we want to be here, to worship God. And then the trembling. Now what is the issue of trembling? Well, here it is. Think about standing before a holy God who knows our every thought, who knows our every motive, who knows how we think and feel. Think about standing before him without Christ. Now that's the issue of trembling. I tremble to think that I could come before God without Christ as my surety, my substitute, my redeemer, my intercessor. That's the issue of trembling. And so we come to God, pleading not our own works, pleading not our own merits, but pleading the merits of Christ. And we have nothing to be ashamed of there. If you come before God, or if I come before God pleading our own merits, we got a lot to be ashamed of. But not in Christ. I'm washed in His blood. I'm clothed in His righteousness. I've got no other hope. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? Haven't we cast out demons and done many wonderful works? You ought to be ashamed of that, if that's what you're pleading. I hear a lot of people today pleading their love for God, their love for one another. Well, we ought to love God, and we ought to love one another. But tremble to go before God pleading your love for Him. But be assured and comforted going before God pleading His love for you. Well, how do I know that He loves me? Well, herein is love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen to this. This is Hebrews 12 and verse 28. I'll just read it for you. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's what he's talking about here. Fear and trembling. Reverence and godly fear. Godly fear? That's respect. That's believing God. That's what godly fear is, believing God. What does God say? And then realizing what it means to appear before God in our own works without Christ. Oh, my soul, we ought to tremble. Look back at Philippians 2:12. You see the word work there in verse 12. Work out your own salvation. That word work means to perform to completion. Now, we're already complete in Christ, but what did Paul say over in Philippians chapter 3? We've already attained all that God requires and all that we need in Christ, but not in ourselves. Think about it. What are the things that we're subject to in this life? We're subject to the natural infirmities of the flesh, growing old, getting sick, aches, pains, sorrows, misunderstandings, all of that. Getting angry, all of that. We're subject to all that, the flesh. What does that tell us? It tells us that in ourselves, even though we're complete in Christ, but in ourselves we're not complete yet. And so when he says work means to perform to completion, it means that believers are to persevere, continue in the faith, fighting the warfare of the flesh and the spirit against the flesh. The word worketh, now in verse 13, which I haven't gotten to yet, but look there, it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that verse right there puts it in its context, what he's talking about. He's not talking about working for salvation, but the word worketh there in verse 13, you know what? We get our English word energy from it. The text means that believers are to persevere in the faith as we are energized by God, motivated by God. And God has never commanded his people to work in order to gain or maintain salvation. In fact, he's forbidden that, and he says it's evil to do that. That's right. And again, go back to the Matthew 7 passage. Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? In other words, we weren't taking credit for it. But that's not the ground of salvation. That's not the ground of justification. Well, what is? Christ is. The glory of his person, the power of his finished work, his blood, his righteousness. So what exactly, when he talks about working and work out, what exactly are these works? What kind of things is he talking about here? Let me give you several things. First of all, we know, as I've said, salvation is all of grace, not by works. at all. I quoted a part of Romans 11. Listen, let me just read it to you. Romans 11, 5 and 6. Paul writes, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." That's a remnant of people who are saved by God's grace. They are the elect. And he says in verse 6, "And if by grace, then it's no more of works." Grace cancels out works. "Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." It can't be both. Can't be a mixture. It's one or the other. What is he telling us? Good works cannot save us or make us righteous. Nothing we do in our attempt to obey God's word, to love God, to love one another, to forgive one another, nothing we do can make us righteous in God's sight. Nothing we do can justify us. It cannot wash away our sins. It cannot make up for even one sin, let alone a multitude. Nothing we do. Even, listen, the Bible teaches that even our good works have to be presented unto God as they are washed, like us, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. That is our persons and that's our works too. Look at what Peter writes in 1 Peter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." You mean we can do those things? Yes, we can. That's of the flesh. Sometimes they get the best of us. But he said, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is" what? "Gracious." I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Merciful God. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively" or living stones, "are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood." Holy? Us? You mean this is a holy bunch? Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we're perfect in everything we think, say, and do? No, we're very imperfect. But holy means we're set apart, distinguished by God's grace. And he says, "A spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices." Now, what are those spiritual sacrifices? It's our service to God and to one another. It's our worship. It's our prayers. It's our praise. And look at what he says there in the last line, "acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." That's it. Good works cannot save us. Even they have to be presented to God acceptable by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood. He said that of Abel. Good works cannot keep us saved. Salvation is secured unto glory by the work of Christ for us. Good works are not the cause or the ground of any part of our salvation. They are the fruit and the result of salvation by God's grace in Christ. We quote Ephesians 2:8-9. Well, let's quote verse 10 with it. Remember what he said, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves." It's the gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And then verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto," not because of, but "unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Good works are the foreordination of God for his people. Titus said, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by his work." Good works are the fruit of our union with Christ. You know, that's what Christ meant when he told his disciples in John 15. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And what do branches do when they have life from the vine? They bear fruit. They don't produce fruit. They bear it. Expressions not of any faith in ourselves, but our faith in Christ. Faith which worketh by love. And then here's another thing. Good works are obedience motivated by grace, love, and gratitude. Turn to Romans 7. You know, when we talk about character and conduct, we're talking about morality. But it's just not morality alone. There has to be involved motives, things like that. A person going through life trying to be the best person they can be, thinking that that's going to gain them something with God, earn something with God. God says that's evil. It denies his glory. It denies Christ. It's pride. So human morality is not what distinguishes us from the world. But it's the motive which people cannot see. But God sees it. And it's a motive that's not in us naturally. The only motive that's in us naturally is legalism and mercenary. Legalism. I'm going to do this because I'm earning my way. And if I don't earn it, then I'll get punished. Mercenary promises of earned reward. Well, look at Romans 7 and verse 4. He says, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law. What does that mean? That means the law cannot condemn me. Cannot condemn me. And the law cannot demand anything from me as far as attaining or maintaining salvation. Now, how did I become dead to the law? Look at it. By the body of Christ. Not by your works. Not by working hard. Not by your sincerity. But by the body of Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, that you should be married to another, united to Christ, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth what? Fruit unto God. And then he says in verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, when we were unregenerate, unbelievers, the motions or the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth what? Fruit unto death. That's talking about mainly what men and women by nature in an unregenerate state see as good works. Trying to work their way into God's favor. It's fruit unto death. It won't work. Why? Because God requires the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And anything less is death and dead. So he says in verse 6, but now we're delivered from the law. How were we delivered from the law? By the body of Christ. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What is it to serve in newness of spirit? It's motivated to working out our salvation, persevering in the faith, seeking to be obedient, seeking to fight the flesh, motivated by grace and by love and by gratitude. That's the motive of good works. And then here's another thing. I read this in the opening of our service in Matthew chapter 5. Good works are works that glorify God. They don't glorify us. They're not to draw attention to us. And that's what he said in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light there is not the works. The light there is the gospel of Christ, who is our light, who shines upon us in the truth of the gospel to show us to be sinners saved by grace, willing and loving bond slaves of Christ, serving Him as motivated by grace, love, and gratitude. And that's what Paul's going to talk about later on here in Philippians 2. You shine as lights in a dark world. How do we shine? It's not by mere human morality, because that doesn't set us apart from the world. Even the religious world, they're involved in what we call human morality, trying to do good. So that doesn't set us apart from. What does set us apart? Our gospel. The light of Christ. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then go back to our text now. Let's read verse 13. Here's the next thing about good works. They're works that actually that God does within us by the power of the Spirit. And this really kills any notion that he's talking about working for salvation. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Listen to this. This is Hebrews 13, verse 20. I'll just read it. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." One more passage, John chapter 1, or rather John chapter 3. Whatever good we do, you know, the Bible tells us that by nature we have no goodness in us. None righteous, none good, no, not one. According to God's standard of goodness. Whatever goodness we have and whatever goodness we do, we're not the source of it. We're not the power of it. We're not even the energy of it. As I said, that word work, when it says God worketh in you, that word means energy. It's God who energizes us, motivates us, and works in us to do that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it is. And look here in verse 20 of John chapter 3. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." That's the unbeliever. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." They're the work of God. So work out your own salvation, because it's God who works in you to do that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In other words, what he's saying is this: when we do good, we can't take credit for it. That's right. All of it goes to God. And even giving credit to God, we still don't plead it as our righteousness before God, because that goes to Christ. And so working out our salvation means what? It means persevering in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, seeking to honor him and to express our faith in him and to express our love for him and for one another in seeking to do good in every area of life. Well, I hope that's been helpful. Let's open our hymnals to hymn number 227. We'll close our service with "The Cleansing Way."